ESPN 97.5.
Yeah, come on.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack. Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back.
What up, H-Town? I'm going to talk in monotone voices because I am barely hanging on. My voice is not treating me the way I would like it to be treated, so therefore I have treated you guys to a three-person show. So hopefully that the three-headed monster will get us through the next 3 hours, and we'll have some fun doing so. Keenan McCardell in studio to my left, along with Barry Laminack to my right. Quick Nick behind the glass. Plenty to talk about today as we get closer to Packers and Texans, and plenty of other stories that are in the news. So without further ado, gentlemen, thank you for saving the day and being with me, and hopefully I can make it through and keep the voice and the pipes in active mode.
Definitely.
Wow. You sound sexy as hell right now.
You know what? I said to my wife Wolfman last night, if anybody wants to do this, voiceovers or any kind of voicemails, I will do like recorded voicemails for people for the next 24 hours.
These sweat rings under my armpits are not because it's hot in here. It's because you're hot in here.
Wow. But you do sound like Wolfman Jack.
That was aggressive.
That's aggressive. Wow.
Also, I want to know why you have on all that heat gear.
I don't know.
What is it, 83 out?
Are you just getting ready? You're getting ready to go to Green Bay or something?
No, because where I'm from, and I realize this, in order to save my voice, the best thing I can do is like sweat it. If I stay warm and sweat it out, my voice will not disappear. But if at any time I feel like I got a chill or I'm cold, it's gone.
You know I'm tweeting this picture of you, right?
Yeah, of course.
I'm just telling you.
With the glasses on, I'm sure.
Make sure.
Take them off. I'll take them off. I got to have this shot.
He hates pictures with his glasses on.
I don't blame him. I love it.
It actually makes you look a little smarter.
And I actually have my Houston Oilers hat on.
He was like, wait.
Yes, you do.
I love the dead air to take a picture.
Yeah, to take the picture. But everybody realized it was a pose. But so here's the greatest thing. Barry Warner started calling me last night because Barry Warner was fired up because he thought that if I couldn't do the show, he could just step right in and take over. So I decided to scare the hell out of Barry Laminack, and I started texting him when I know Barry's road rage is in full effect and he's on his way here. So I started texting Barry, hey, man, I'm out. My voice is completely dead. Barry Warner's going to do the show. And it's all taken care of. Barry's got 3 or 4 guests coming on, and you guys are going to be fine. He's a pro. He'll take care of everything. And immediately, Barry starts texting me back, hey, Shock's available. Why couldn't we get Shock? And I go, well, Shock's a sales guy during the week. During sales time, he can't do anything but sell. He's not allowed to do this.
And in my mind, I'm going,
That might have helped give it away, too. The fact that he was saying, oh, well, Shock can't do anything about the sales.
I can't argue while I'm driving over text. But I was like, in my mind, I'm going, but he's done the show with Barry before during sales. Well, hold on a minute. When did this rule go? And now I'm getting mad about this rule because I'm like, they're holding my man down. What's going on?
Yeah,
I just want to know what kind of guest Barry had.
Right. So then I'm sitting in the back room. I'm sitting in the back room with Jong and with Nick, and I'm going, okay, now we need to think of guys that are either dead or that Barry won't know aren't able to do the show. And those are gonna be the guests that Barry Warner's gonna have on today. So we picked George Blanda, the ex Oiler and Raider, who is deceased. We picked Jack Pardee because it was borderline, and you don't know if he is or not. And then the one that I debated on, and it ended up being the one that was, to my demise, the one that gave it away. I said, and Barry's got a special guest. He's got Earl Campbell's brother who's going to join us in the last hour, and that's the one where Barry started to catch on to.
So I'm reading this. I'm going, George Blanda, is he alive? Then I was like, Jack Pardee, who cares? And then I saw Earl Campbell's brother. I was like, you got to be now I think I'm being punked right now.
So it has to be a combination of the Earl Campbell tweet, text, and the fact that you saw the backpack on the table
Jack
when you walked in.
Jack Pardee passed away.
So I'll say this. I was 70-30 believing it and angry until I saw Earl Campbell's brother, and then I was 30-70. But that 30% was still very strong that it was a possibility. And as soon as I walked in the door, I'm looking. Like, actually, y'all don't know this, but I looked through the blinds before I opened the door.
I told these guys, I'm like, I'm hiding. I'm going near the front. I'm going in the sales area. I'm like, until Barry gets here, I got to stay out of sight. And then lo and behold, he opens up the back door, and I'm like, oh, man.
I had to get ready. Like, I prepped myself. I looked through the blinds. I was like, okay, don't let your face show your disappointment. And then I opened the door, and I saw Joel's backpack. I was like, that's his backpack. I'm safe. Oh, it was such a relief.
You guys are killing me.
Because in the meantime, I'm calling Keenan. I'm like, look, man, I need you in today so that I can quarterback and hand off to you guys and we can carry this thing because I can get through it, but I can't like overdo it.
Thanks for having faith in me that I could do it.
Oh, you know, Dak Prescott, you are, but still.
Thanks.
And Keenan kept asking questions, and I'm like, I don't want to talk too much just to try and save what I do have left in the tank, but it is going to be fine. So we're all here, and I'm barely here. One thing that came up yesterday when we were talking about Texans Chargers was something that Barry alluded to that you alluded to last week, which was
I picked the Texans.
No. What? You picked the Chargers.
I picked the Texans.
That's right. You picked the Texans, and you did so because you said, and I quote,
"They are a better team."
Yeah.
No,
you said they're a much better team. They are no doubt about it. They're a much better team than the Chargers are. So because you're here, I will give you the opportunity to take it all back.
No.
What? Did you watch the same game I watched?
I was at the game. They turned the ball over.
What?
Oh, yeah. I alluded to the fact you and I were texting throughout the game.
What makes you think this team is better than the Chargers?
You know what?
I see nothing.
You look at the things that the Chargers do. I mean, we ran the ball well. They ran the ball well.
Oh, another Cardinals sin.
He can beat me up. Yeah. He can say it.
They ran the ball well. You know, they were giving up a lot of things on defense that I felt like that the Texans could take advantage of. I mean, you look at it. I don't particularly think that the Chargers secondary is all that good, to be honest with you. You know, I give them their defensive line is pretty good. It's a young defensive line. I mean, but they were giving up points, you know, all the time. I mean, you know, their offense was one of the highest scoring offenses in the league. You know why? Because their defense gives up a lot of points.
Yeah, but so Brock had 240 yards net passing, 240 yards,
right,
with three interceptions. And you're saying that their secondary is not that good. And I believe you. I believe you when you say that. Well, so what I'm saying is, let me finish my thought.
Yeah, go ahead.
What I'm saying is that it took a terrible secondary to make Brock look mediocre. That's not a good sign. I don't see why you think that the pass protection didn't hold up well. Brock was, I don't know.
What's the common denominator here? The quarterback, right?
Yeah, but
he probably had one of his second worst game of the year. Because the Denver game was the worst.
Against a bad secondary.
Against a bad secondary, you're right.
So that's what I see is it's like if your passing game can't go off against a bad secondary, that says more about the inadequacies of your team than it does the Chargers.
But it also tells you this, that you should rely on the thing that's getting you there, and that's running the football.
Well, that is true. They did have 114 yards rushing, but Lamar Miller only had 57 or so.
The other thing I touched on yesterday that you and I were talking about that's worth you mentioning is the players get caught up in these weekly rankings. And Bouye had suddenly gotten the rankings of being one of the top three corners in this league for a couple weeks in a row. And as you and I were going back and forth during the game, Rivers detected that he had found a weakness in the pass coverage when Bouye was on somebody and he was picking them apart. And then he exploited that throughout the second half.
No doubt. I mean, I've always said that, you know, that's the Texans' Achilles heel. That's their Achilles heel because, you know what, without Kareem Jackson and Jay Joe on the corners.
And Johnson.
And Johnson, I'm going to make 21 Bouye play football.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he was the fourth corner at the start of the season that came in on dime. Now he's the starter. So if I'm an offensive coordinator, I'm gonna make sure he can play, you know, and make sure that he can cover. You know, they didn't throw a lot at Jay Joe. They threw a lot at him.
Yes.
And at Demps, they got the easy touchdown on a double move on Demps right down the middle.
Caught a couple times,
yeah,
didn't he?
Yeah, yeah. But But the thing about it, they felt like, you know, the Texans, what, left corner, right corner was their was their weakness. And so Phil, and I know Philip by playing with Philip and playing with Philip a lot. When he finds a weakness, he's going to exploit it.
As you should.
And that's how you win games.
That's
right. It's all about matchups. I put my best guy on your weakest guy.
So there you have it. That's just the opening segment, and I will be the godfather of this show, and I will turn it over to my people to make sure that they take care of business. And if you don't want to deal with my people, we have ways of taking care of business. Barry also believes that because Demps was beat twice, that he could have filled in and done better because he is a strong safety, so we can get to that.
Hold on now. Wait a minute.
We can also talk about a lot of other things that have been topical across the sporting world.
Try it.
Don't worry. Quentin Demps' show was yesterday. You don't have to deal with them till next
week. You're trying to get me murdered, man. I don't know. I thought we were friends. Why are you trying to get me beat up?
Yesterday you said we weren't friends.
Did I?
Yeah, you said that.
That's probably true.
We politically fool people during the course of... So, see, Nick's nodding his head.
Did I say that?
Yes.
Nick.
No, I don't think you said that.
Okay.
Are you kidding me? You just nodded your head the entire time and then said you didn't say that?
I was really just listening to the music, truthfully, but...
All right, so you bob and weave, and we're with you till 4 o'clock. It's Keenan, it's Barry, it's Joel, it is Nick behind the glass, and we want to hear from you. 713-780-ESPN. Please bail me out and help be a part of the show. You can carry it if you'd like by coming in with a good take and getting these guys to converse about it back and forth, but we want you to be a part of the show. It's also at Keenan McCardell, at Barry is Funny, at Pac-Man Joel with a K, and at No Hit Nick. We're on Twitter, and we will stick with our Twitter accounts all throughout the show. We've got a new phone board, which looks exquisite. Let's just hope that it spells correctly and has spell check. So we can get your calls in, and you can also text to that number at 713-780-ESPN. We are 97.5.
November is Movember. We're raising funds to help men battle their biggest health issues. Visit Movember.com and search for Gal Media to donate to your favorite hosts. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack, powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Joel and Barry with special guest Keenan McCardell and my man Nick behind the glass as I do the Barry White impersonation, because if I don't fluctuate my voice high and low and keep it at about this level, I think I can maintain excellent dialogue throughout the show. So we're going to keep doing that. I am a little under the weather, but actually feel better than I sound. But we started off by talking about that Chargers-Texans game and the fact that Keenan had picked the Texans. And then Keenan basically was backing up why he said what he said, and then we were doing a little comparison on talent. Now, Barry and I talked about this yesterday, Mac, and the one thing I wanted to get your opinion on as well is Travis chimed in and said that he believed the Cleveland Browns roster had more talent on it than the Houston Texans. Do you agree or disagree?
They got a lot of first-round picks. They probably got
They've
a lot of talent.
Swung and missed on a few.
Yeah. I mean, but by personnel people, they think they have a lot of good talent. You know, they got a lot of first-round picks. And, you know, as I say, you know, just because you're drafted in the first round, I mean, you're a really good player. I mean, it means you have potential. And most coaches will tell you potential will get you fired.
Yes.
You know, and he's potentially good, but you're potentially out of a job, too, if he's not. If he doesn't get good, and you don't teach him how to get to be good.
I mean, obviously, they have a quarterback situation as well, and they can't figure out who to go to, but they do have a receiver like Hopkins in Terrell Pryor.
Yes.
They have some talent on the offensive line, which they're trying to get rid of.
Coleman.
And Joe Thomas.
Joe Thomas, they're trying to get rid of him.
Yep.
You know, they're probably going to get a tackle in the draft. You got Coleman that they drafted from Baylor. You got Joe Hayden. That everybody wants.
Everybody would take Joe Hayden.
Everybody in the league on the trade deadline was trying to get Joe Hayden.
Yeah, he's a hell of a player.
They're talented.
And the Patriots linebacker that they got, they just traded for. Who's not going to stay there?
He probably won't stay there, but he's a talent.
Yep.
I mean, you got two good backs.
But with all that being said, is that talent better than what the Texans have? Because I could go down the list and say whether J.J. Watt's playing or not, J.J.'s on your roster.
The talent is probably in Cleveland, but
really,
yeah, I think depth wise. Now, I think skill position wise, the Texans probably have better skill position players. Because I mean, even quarterback.
I mean, you.
But running back.
But if you take him coming out of the draft, would you take Brock or would you take RG3?
Well, right when they came out of college,
that draft coming. They
but we're talking about
year.
Present day. And I would, I mean, as
right
much
now,
as much as I don't like watching Brock play football, I think I would still take Brock right now because of the potential versus RG3. You know what you're going to get with RG3.
You know what you're going to get from Brock.
Well,
you know what
he's
you're
played
get from
one
Brock.
Season. RG3 has played a lot more snaps
Honestly, I'll take RG3.
Really?
Honestly, I would.
Now, okay. Do you think before he got hurt that he had righted the ship?
You had a rookie of the year, so you tell me if.
No, but do you think RG3 had righted the ship?
He hadn't played like it since.
But Brock hadn't played like it at all, so.
Do you think RG3 had righted the ship, learned a lesson from Washington, and before he got hurt in Cleveland that he could have done something this year?
He was actually playing pretty well before he got hurt, too.
Okay.
I mean, and, you know, I think Hugh Jackson had him where he wanted
him.
And
he's with a coach that can teach some things.
He's a quarterback guy.
Right.
And, you know, I to be honest with you, if I had the choice, I probably would have taken RG3.
Okay.
Just because. Of his potential,
okay. Because I like the receivers that the Texans have with Hopkins, and you complement them with a speed guy in Fuller and a slot guy in Miller. I like those three guys better than Terrell Pryor and anybody else. Now,
let me tell you guys, I think they're by themselves. I'm saying the other guys, I think a
first place team with a last place team.
You're telling me that there's more talent on the last place team.
It is.
My goodness.
But guess what? They're playing better as a team.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Lamont just tweeted that wants to know why you sound like the 90s commercial lady who smoked all her life and has a hole in her neck.
Wow.
Well, I also, and then I can also keep asking, where's the beef? But that wouldn't do it, getting anybody to get anything done. So if you just tuned in, my voice is a little shot, but I feel good. So I'm going to play hurt. So we got a call that wants to get in on the show and get in on this conversation about Browns and Texans. Joe in Houston, what's up, man?
Hey, just wanted to ask the question of, would you rather be in the Cleveland Brown situation of always having to draft like a first-round quarterback or trade for quarterbacks over Brock Osweiler?
Me, myself? I mean, I wouldn't want to be in the situation that the Browns are because you're drafting, you're always in the top pick or in the top five drafting. But, you know, right now, this is what's holding this team back.
Yes.
Is the quarterback position right now.
Without question.
The play of the quarterback position is holding the Texans back from being where they need to be. And you know what? The jury's still out on Brock, as you guys say. Mm-hmm. You know, but right now, it ain't about down the line. It's about right now. Because you got J.J. Watt that's hurt this year, but you got Vince. All these guys that are – the window's closing.
Yep.
And you brought Brock in here to say, okay – we know our window's closing. Here's the guy that we need to take us to the next level. You know, J. Joe's in, what, year 10 or?
He's definitely on the downside. 11, long so, in the tooth, so, they say.
I'm going to tell you this. These guys want to win. These guys want to win, you know, they want to win now. They don't want to wait till Brock rounds into
and develops.
Shape.
But that's why they went and got Brock and not a draft pick, because at least Brock had some experience and you could see what he could do and you weren't going in blind with a draft pick. But to Joe's point as well on that call, yesterday we had somebody who brought up a point about setting the franchise back, and they felt like Brock Osweiler, the signing, set the franchise back. But I disagree in that it's only a two-year experiment. If you draft and waste a first-round draft pick, that's why the Browns are in the hole they're in, because they've continued to waste high draft picks on quarterbacks that don't pan out.
Well,
and at least you didn't waste a first-round draft pick.
They went out and got a quarterback. That's why this year
they did not draft a quarterback.
Right.
And it still backfired. The Johnny Manziel pick is still going to keep haunting them.
That pick will haunt them for a long time. Yes, you wasted a first round pick that should have been the guy.
Here's a question from yesterday, Mac. That it's worth asking you as well, as we've talked to Travis as well, which is: are you okay with a team that goes 9-7 every year, wins the division because it's a bad division, gets a playoff game, maybe even a home playoff game, but plays one, maybe two playoff games, but never sniffs getting any better, and just stays with that complacent kind of 9-7? Travis said you can't ever estimate the what it means to at least have a chance to get there by winning, so therefore he'll take it. I'm saying, and the fans have been saying when they've been calling in, if it's a behavior that keeps repeating itself, like, you don't want to be a losing team for like five, seven, 10 years. But is it going? Is it annoying if they're just if it's just the complacency sets in at 9-7? It becomes okay because at least you won the division. And at least you're in the playoffs. I want your opinion, and I want it. I want you to hold on it because gotcha. I want you to say what you think. Barry's already touched on it yesterday a little bit, but then everybody's free to chime in as well because it's an interesting perspective. I said I'm not okay with 9-7, 9-7, 9-7, and not getting any better and doing things that show you're trying to get better. Let us know what you think. 713-780-ESPN or hit us up on Twitter, ESPN975.
ESPN 975. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack, powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Oh, yeah. I can do the Kool-Aid voice today, ladies and gentlemen. I can also do voiceovers if you'd like to contact Nick on the side. Until my voice comes back, I am capable of doing deep voices for your girl on her voicemail. If you'd like to see if it works in your favor and things haven't been working at home, I am free for you guys for a short period of time.
Wow. Hey, before we take these calls, I want to talk about Movember.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then we need to also get Keenan's opinion on being 9-7.
We will do that too, but I wanted to get this out of the way because I want to give people time to donate to our Movember page because we are still in second place, but I have a goal for our show here. That I think we can accomplish today. But it's going to require one guy out there listening to keep his word. I'm looking at you, Scott in Deer Park.
Oh, yeah.
For the Scott, you haven't
he didn't
ended
match.
Up yet?
He still didn't match.
So I will tell you this. First of all, if you want to donate, go to ESPN975.com, and there's a Movember link. There's a black box that says Movember on it. Click on that, and it'll take you to all the team pages and or show pages, and don't pick any of those other crappy shows. Click on Travis Johnson's beautiful face, bottom right-hand corner, and that will take you to our show page here where you can donate. Now, guys, currently we are at $488. I'm very proud of that. Just so you're aware, last place is $9, and that's Steve Bunin. So shame on Steve Bunin for $9.
By the way, AJ was boasting about how they're in first place. He failed to mention that the owner of the station donated $975
which
to their account.
Yeah.
Well, why not? He should have split it all the way.
That's what I'm saying.
Well, yeah. I get why, but because he wants
that's
AJ.
That's when Barry wanted to explore people's
what?
People's anal cavities for examination.
No, this is no.
So, go ahead and tell me why he
does this. He does weird things. I don't understand. So no,
Barry wanted to dabble in the sock drawer, if you know what I mean. Go ahead, Barry.
Go ahead, Barry. Barry, I'm listening.
Thank you, Keenan. I really appreciate you keeping it adult. What the Blitz was doing is Fred was going to get a colonoscopy live on air, and then they said, well, they can't do that. So he's still going to get an exam. If they were going to get $2,000, he would have got a colonoscopy live on air and on Facebook. But they said they can't do them live, so instead he's just getting a prostate exam because they hit the 2,000. But AJ is going to get an exam as well, and they're going to do it live. So
exciting,
I was saying,
and new.
What Joel was implying was I said, I'm not going to let them beat us. If we raise $1,000, I will try to put a microphone up Joel's beehole and see if that worked. And then
I stepped in and said, and you won't be living by the time you get done trying.
But, why you didn't just go get a prostate?
I don't know.
Because wait, easy for you to say.
I'm too scared. I don't want to do that.
Barry's been harping on sticking a microphone or whatever it is up his beehole for like the past 3
No,
weeks.
I just bring it up because I was just trying to one-up the Blitz. That's all I was trying to do. Is I just thought that
you
would
one-up in Joel.
Yeah, well, you know what? I just thought it would be like an ultrasound where you can hear the heartbeat. It'd be okay.
Barry wants to feel.
All
right, let's get to the 9-7.
We're at $488. So please go donate. Now, Scott in Deer Park said that at the end of the week, a couple of weeks ago, that he would match where we were at. So I'm going to say Will in Deer Park did his part. He donated $239. I'm looking at it. But the last donation we have is from Lauren Pope.
Okay.
And I don't see Scott in Deer Park's $239. So, Scott, you said you would do this. It's for a great cause. Now, I normally don't call people out.
Oh, I am. I'm getting them on Twitter right now.
But you said it, So I'm holding you to it, my man. You got to go out there and donate that $239. And anyone else out there, if you got $5, if you got $10, it's for a great cause. I want this show to reach $750 before we go off the air today. I think that would be great. I would appreciate it. I know everyone else would appreciate it. So if you got $5 or $10 to spare, please go donate. Just go to ESPN975.com. You'll find the Movember link, and you can take it from there. All right, I'm done.
You tweet. I can't find.
I will tweet the link out to our show.
You need to tweet Scott in Deer Park to let him know.
I will do that as well.
He wasn't listening, and what we'll say is, well, we tweeted you too, and we know you're always following Twitter.
I will take care of it all.
All right, so before we get to the calls and the board is filling up, Mac, I want your opinion. I said this before the break. I wanted to know, as a player, are you okay when you can consistently just go 9-7, win the division, get a playoff game or two, but you know that there's no bright light at the end of the tunnel? Like, that's pretty much where the beginning and the end. And you're not really sniffing, getting better. And from year to year, your management's not doing the things to make the effort to put you in a position where your weaknesses become better or strengths become stronger, right, and you then can compete for a Super Bowl.
You know what? Like Travis said, you can never say 9-7 is bad in the National Football League, because you always have a chance to make the playoffs if you're in the right division. You know, and the thing about it is that you have to get in. You have to get in the playoffs to get a chance to win the Super Bowl.
I understand you can't dance unless you got a ticket. So I get that.
So if I'm 9-7,
yeah,
a 9-7 team is one win from being 10-6, and that's just the bounce of the ball. Mm-hmm. You know, and I think being in the playoffs, it's a new season.
But what about the course of time? I understand, growing up a Packer fan and going 20-some years without a playoff appearance, then I'm going to change my opinion and say, yes, I at least want to have a chance to compete in the postseason. But if you consistently do the same thing over and over again,
you make
the 9-7 once, it's whatever you say, it's a mistake or it happens. But if you do it 3 or 4 years in a row and had the same outcome, now you're accepting mediocrity.
You're not accepting mediocrity because you're in the playoffs and with a chance to play for the big dance. I mean, and that's the thing. You want to get a ticket to the dance, mm-hmm, so you can get to the big dance. I mean, and if you can't get in, it's a whole bunch of teams here looking on the outside trying to get in. And every year you'll say, hey, bro, we're in the playoffs every year and we got a chance to win. You guys are sitting at home hoping you can get in the playoffs and we're in. But that's when guys, you know, the management has to say, you know what, we need the one key person to get there. And I don't think they've given these guys enough to get there. I mean, I'm looking at it right now. I mean, if they go 9-7, yep, right now.
Right.
You know, and they're in the playoffs.
Yeah.
You get a chance. If the playoffs started today, they match up against Kansas City.
Yeah.
They beat Kansas City.
Okay.
They go to the next round.
I hear you. All right. I hear you.
And that's the thing. It's a new season, but every time you get there.
So that happens. Then you get eliminated again. And then my frustration is that time between the end of your last game and the start of the next season, when you look at it and go, well,
you got to look at the philosophy of the franchise too, and if the philosophy of the franchise is to not spend money and build through the draft, you got to look at it. The best team that does that to me in the NFL that builds through the draft,
yeah,
is the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Yeah,
you know, they don't spend a lot of money.
Ted Thompson will argue that, but Ted Thompson got caught with his pants down this year.
Yeah, all right. I mean, let's talk to the callers and see what they think. But I think I mean 9-7 and you're in the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
Gives you a chance
I disagree, and that's just me.
And Travis think the same way because we've played it and understand how hard it is.
That's why I
want
to get your opinions on it, but at the same time,
it's hard to get in the playoffs.
See, I said I'm fine with 9-7 and playoffs every year as long as you're giving me hope when you get to the playoffs and getting better.
Because
the difference is, if I know you're going to go and get rolled 30-0 by the Chiefs every year, then what's the point?
Yeah, that's my thing. 1 year's okay. When it keeps happening, that's where I'm like, come on, man. You got to be doing something different to try and avoid that from happening again.
Nobody
thought they was going to get rolled against the Chiefs.
But they did. But that's my point. If you go 9-7 every year and you beat the Bengals every once in a while, I'm cool with that.
You go 12-4.
All right, let's get Ben in here. Ben, you've been holding the longest. You want to get on the conversation. Ben, what's up?
Hey, what's going on, guys?
What's going on?
I was just calling, I guess, but the 9-7 part, which, I mean, I get what y'all are saying about if you just get in there and then just get blasted in the playoffs every year, it gets pretty frustrating. It's the same story over and over again. But the way I look at it is if you're going 9-7 and you're getting in there, you're at least good enough to compete against the teams that you're supposed to be better than and beat those teams. In the NFL, the draft is not really like the NBA where you need one of those top 3-4 picks to be a franchise altering draft pick, where you can find not necessarily a quarterback, but I mean, even some of them, you can find a quarterback either deeper in the first round, or even sometimes like you can hit lightning in a bottle with like guys like Russell Wilson or even Dak Prescott this year. And so if you're just drafting correctly and you're already in the playoffs, then you're just a couple steps away from truly competing. But if you're one of those bottom-tier teams that's always picking high, and I'm not even saying always picking high, but if you're dropping down and you're getting the top 5 pick, then you need a lot more than just one guy. But if you're always competing and in there, then if you draft correctly, you're a lot closer to it. And like I said, you don't necessarily need a top 5 pick to be a franchise-altering player.
Ben, the only thing I disagree with you is about the NBA and the NFL draft. The NBA really don't care about their draft picks. Their top three, top if you're in a lottery pick, they can sit their lottery picks and don't.
There are no LeBron James coming out anymore, so you are constantly drafting for potential.
Because in the NFL, all of those seven picks that you get are going to have a chance to help.
Vitally important.
They are important. That's why for a rookie to get cut nowadays, he has to be really bad. Or they got to be deep with veterans. So the NFL's draft is a big thing. It's the lifeline of an NFL club. So, you know, and I beg different when you say the drafts are opposite. I mean, because the NBA can go say, we'll draft a guy in the first round, and that's a lottery pick, and then he's overseas, and they'll be like, okay, we'll get him later. I mean, NFL can't do that.
You can't bury guys. Send them over to Europe for a couple of years. Yeah. Season them. You don't have to pay them. You don't have to put them on the salary cap.
Not only that, once you get out the top 7 to 10 slots in the NBA draft, the talent isn't as good. I mean, there's very limited talent at the top of the draft.
All right, another call. Ben, thanks for the call. Don't be a stranger. And next, it looks like we're going to Troy in Baytown. Troy, what's up?
Oh, not too much. To answer your question on 9-7 record, it's frustrating as a fan to make it to the playoffs, and you guys just said it and said exactly what I was going to say. It's frustrating as a fan to get to the playoffs and get beat, and we do it year after year after year. We can't get over the hump, and nobody wants to get them over the hump to go to the next round. And I called in yesterday and talked about our quarterback, and I heard him talk about, well, he still hasn't played a 16-game season.
Yes, he has.
Somebody forgot to tell that he hadn't played a 16-game season.
I believe it's a Cowboy fan.
Some of these other rookies that are kicking butt.
Troy, two things. One, yes, please, say the quarterback of the Texans' name one more time, please.
Osweiler.
Okay. That's closer to yesterday when it was Osweiler. Now, secondly, yesterday was accent day. So today we were hoping that you were not going to have the accent. So I'm not sure what happened, but you didn't get the memo.
I listened to you after. I got this hick accent. I apologize.
We love you.
I love you, Troy.
I love it, Troy. Don't let Joel get you down, man.
I was just playing with you.
Troy, you were the inspiration for what probably was the two best segments we've ever had.
We created a monster thanks to you yesterday, Troy. And it was an animal that took off on its own.
And I wasn't going to call in today until you asked the question.
You should call in every day.
Call in every day.
Because, Troy, the thing about you calling in is you make sense when you talk, and that's all we care about. It's beautiful, man. You're always welcome to call
because
the show.
The second accent guy said that Osweiler wasn't the problem. It was the center. And if you put Osweiler on the Packers, that Brock Osweiler would be an all-pro. So, see, that's how we differentiate. You have substance.
Okay, he's from further up in East Texas than I am.
More like farther west. But we'll get to that for another day. Troy, thanks for the call. Don't be a stranger. We are still rolling along. We have more to get to, including more discussion on the Texans. We need to talk about some college football. We have plenty to talk about with the Rockets and some NBA things that happened last night that you may have missed. All that and more, ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack, powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Hey, it's Joel, Keenan, and Barry until 4 o'clock, and we are kicking around the Texans. And if you're okay with them going 9-7 repetitively over and over again and not making any kind of improvements that lead you to believe that they're going to get to a Super Bowl or a conference championship or advance to another round of the playoffs, we had this conversation yesterday, Barry and myself. We got Keenan involved in it. Travis got into it last week, or actually this week on Monday. So it's something that we want you involved in, and we have plenty of people that want to chime in. So waiting the longest and next up is Ernst in Houston. What's up, man?
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Hey, Ernst, how you doing?
I'm good. Well, I mean, you got to think about it, too. It's starting to feel the same way with the Green Bay Packers. I'm a Packers fan, and look where we're at right now, which isn't great. But, I mean, it kind of almost feels the same way right now. I mean, we've been, in a playoff 7 times, and now we're not even making it.
Oh, we still may make it. Easy now.
I don't know, man. I mean, it hurts, but and I'm don't get me wrong, I'm grateful. I'm going to the game this year, my first NFL game. I'm going to that game. And, I mean, I don't know. I mean, I'm hoping my team does pull it off. We do get to the playoffs again. But a lot of times, yeah, it does hurt when we don't get to the, you know, to the dance. Like, you know, what's his name said? It hurts.
I mean, I feel the same way. I mean, the NFC North has been kind of, you know, a down division also.
No question.
And the Packers have been
the cream of the crop for the last 7 years,
but they haven't gotten to the dance in a while. So I feel
2010.
I feel your frustrations.
All right.
But they're there. You feel better when they're in the playoffs, right?
Well, you also feel better that as long as you got 12 behind center, you got a chance.
But I mean, not even that you have 12, but you feel better because your team is in the playoffs, right? You're not looking back at Minnesota. You know, like Texans are. Texans fans should be happy that they're in
it. It depends. If I'm looking at that same team every year and I'm saying, okay, we're getting there and the same things are happening over and over again, then I'm looking at Ted Thompson, the general manager, and I'm saying, what are you doing to rectify what's wrong and make this team better to get over that hump? And if I don't see those improvements and the same result keeps happening over and over again, then I'm probably not going to be happy.
Well, going into the season, everybody thought Green Bay had it.
I agree.
Injuries?
Injuries have been a huge problem.
That's part of the game.
But again,
just like,
one thing where I'll give Rick Smith some credit, where I don't think I can't give Ted Thompson, the Packers GM, the same amount of credit. Ted Thompson believes he drafts so well that it's the next man up and someone behind him on the depth chart is going to step up and be the same level. They're not.
Rick has went out and got
Rick veteran, will go out and get
veteran
players.
Backups.
Right. That's what I like. That's where Ted Thompson won't do it in Green Bay. That's what Rick will do. So I'll give Rick Smith credit right there.
You got to have hope over there on Kirby.
Right, that's what I'm saying. And for the fan base, you got to have hope too. I don't think the fan base has hope. I think the fan base has already relented to the fact that their quarterback's not good. And oh, by the way, this is going to be another year where, oh yay, they win the division, then they get knocked around, they get their heads ripped off in the playoffs, and they're done.
Well, I'm sorry to say, I was at that game Sunday.
Yes, you were.
I walked through the parking lot. Those fans are diehard Texas fans. They bleed blue and red, still blue and red. And they don't care. They want them in the playoffs. So 9-7 and being in the playoffs, they're still going to be out there rooting for them Texans, because it only takes one play in a playoff game to change your whole season to a team getting hot and running through the playoffs. So you got to be in the playoffs to get hot and run through the playoffs.
Yeah, you can't win the Super Bowl if you don't make the playoffs.
Right.
No, I get that, but that's what I'm saying. But you also aren't going to win the Super Bowl if every year you keep doing the same thing once you get in the playoffs, because everybody can see it. You're just happy to be there.
I want to see a team
that's making an effort to win the Super Bowl when they get there. Like you just said a couple segments ago, the window's only open for so long, and the window's closing on Jonathan Joseph and some of your veterans that you went out and you got in free agency that you said were going to be the keys to getting you better. That then you've got to make sure you got someone that runs the quarterback position the right way, even if it is a game manager. It's not a bad thing to be when you have talent around you, because then at least you have a chance to win. You know it. You saw it with Brad Johnson when you guys won the Super Bowl.
Right.
You saw it with Trent Dilfer. You've seen other guys that have been able to do it. That's all I'm saying. If they're not making those other adjustments to get better, then I'm not happy with that.
I got a question.
Sure.
Is this season different with JJ?
I think people in a management position will blame JJ's injury on why they didn't have a chance to win this year, to try and cover for the fact that Brock Osweiler has been awful.
I mean, I think...
Is that a fair answer?
That's a fair answer. And I think it boasts their defense even more. Well, you know, they rank like fifth. It goes up to probably third or maybe first, but it still doesn't fix the problem on offense, and that's the quarterback position. We can go to the next caller.
I've kind of already said, you know, what my given my thoughts.
You checked out and moved on?
Well, no, I don't know how else to phrase it. We're starting to talk in circles a little bit in that regard. But
Cody wants to talk. Get in on it. Then we won't talk in circles. We'll get a square in here to talk about it. Cody, what's up?
Hey, guys. How y'all doing?
Good, man. Cody.
Hey, I wanted to put this in context a little bit. Getting to the playoffs and getting your butt kicked every week, every year, is like the equivalent of going 8-4 every year in college football. Kevin Sumlin's on the hot seat for it. Charlie Strong didn't do that, but it's just not okay at a major program, and the Texans want to be a major program, and fans are going to get annoyed by getting their butts handed to them every year in the playoffs.
No. Cody, it's a fantastic call. Thanks for calling in. We appreciate it. Don't be a stranger. Mac, what do you got to that?
No. I mean, Cody, it's a lot different when you get in the playoffs. Kevin's not in the playoffs to win the national championship. It's not equivalent. It's no way alike. I mean,
the only thing I would say is at least Sumlin on paper from year to year makes improvements because he has great recruiting classes that he brings in. It's just that Barry's always said, as an A&M fan, that they do the same thing every year, and that is they peter out down the stretch and lose games they should win.
That's that Aggie fade every year. Come November, you can set your clock to it. Oh, it must be November. The Aggies are fading. You know
why? Kevin Sumlin was a big kid and play fan.
You know why it's an Aggie fade? You got Alabama, LSU.
That's what I'm saying, though.
No, you got to mix in a Mississippi State when you pee down your leg in a game you shouldn't.
Alabama, LSU, that's what gives them that zero ball.
Basically, what Barry's saying is that Kevin Sumlin's a big fan of kid and play. He likes the high top fade.
What you guys fail to understand is that the Aggie fade was happening when they were in the Big 12 as well. So it's not an SEC thing. It is definitely an Aggie thing.
All right, we got more calls to get to, more topics that you want to talk about. 713-780-ESPN or hit us up on Twitter. We're here till 4, ESPN 97.5.
November is Movember at Gal Media. We're raising funds to help men battle their biggest health issues. Visit Movember.com and search for Gal Media to donate to your favorite hosts.